The EPA has finalized emissions rules on American car makers, and here's an idea how ambitious this plan is. Today, less than 1 in 10 new vehicles sold is electric. The government's target is 5 in 10 being electric by 2032 under the new rules. For more on what they are, let's bring in Jake Biddle. He's staff writer at Grist, our editorial partner. Jake, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So this regulation, known as the final regulation, takes effect in model year 2027. Does it mandate, does it force automakers to sell certain numbers of EVs and plug-in hybrids?
No. What the rule does is it sets a target for the entire vehicle fleet sold by a given automaker, right? So Ford, for instance, has to reach an average carbon intensity of its entire vehicle fleet. Now, the target is very ambitious. So in practice, what it will mean is that Ford could, you know, for instance, still sell some gasoline cars, but it would have to sell an awful lot of EVs in order to make up for that and get down, you know, to that low carbon target. So in practice, it will mean a lot more EVs are being sold, but no, it doesn't require automakers to sell EVs. They could sell a lot of hybrids. Mm-hmm. They could, you know, take other tactics to reduce or increase fuel efficiency, but they will be selling a lot of EVs to meet the target.
Yep, understand. So, right, it's not mandating a certain technology on the industry. Now, sales of electric cars have been going up. We're talking something like 8% of new vehicles sold. What's the idea of how to push, how to speed up this market in less than a decade?
Right. So I think there's a few different planks here. You know, one is that the Biden administration has put a lot of money into developing EV chargers because there's some evidence that there's a sort of positive feedback loop as more chargers are available and people are more likely to adopt EVs. And of course, the Inflation Reduction Act, which passed in 2022, offers subsidies for a small but a significant number of EV models that would basically give you a tax rebate if you buy one. So the administration is hoping to make it, you know, easier and cheaper to go electric, but then also with this new rule, they're just sort of putting their a final target on how long it will take automakers to transition to mostly selling electric vehicles.
Yeah, and is there a hammer part of this rule that is, if automakers don't get to you know, this target for their fleet-wide emissions, what happens to industry? Do they pay fines?
Yes, but I think it's probably important to emphasize that, you know, the automakers themselves, while they did ask for more time when Biden came out with the initial rule, which is a little more ambitious, they too have said, you know, that eventually they'd like to go all electric and that they plan to meet the rules. So I don't think that they would, that there would be, you know, significant penalties levied. In the end, this rule was workshopped for a long time, but that would be the idea.
Okay, and workshopped, I gather, also with the auto workers union. Now, in this country, Jake, the biggest source of CO2 emissions comes from vehicles. How does this rule, which is finalized, fit in with the Biden administration's broader climate goals and climate rules?
Right, yeah. So I think, like I said, with the Inflation Reduction Act, you saw a pretty new and significant attempt to extend carrots to the American populace to get them to, you know, deploy new renewable energy, you know, retrofit their homes, buy EVs. And this rule, the EV rule that the EPA has come out with, is one of a few main sort of sticks that the Biden administration is trying to impose. The other ones being, you know, there's rules on carbon emissions from power plants and rules on oil and gas wells leaking methane, and then another rule on emissions from heavy-duty vehicles, from trucks. So this is kind of a really important regulatory push. I think it reflects a recognition by the Biden administration that, you know, the subsidies and grants extended in the Inflation Reduction Act are not sufficient on their own to get the U.S. to his goal of halving greenhouse gas emissions by 2030.
Yeah. You cover this regulatory process. I've done it before. You know, one of the steps is an agency like the EPA will propose a rule, and then it gets feedback from the public, from industry, before issuing a final rule like this one. You mentioned the auto industry and the auto workers union kind of weighing in. How did this change? I mean, did they get more breathing room?
Yeah, they got a little more breathing room, right? So the UAW, the United Automobile Workers, they basically said, you know, we think that the original rule moves really fast. It requires a huge ramp up in sales by 2030. That's going to put a lot of combustion engine workers out of work. They also wanted more time to try to unionize some of the new electric vehicle factories that have popped up in the American South in areas that are, you know, less friendly to organized labor historically. And the current version, the final version, basically it just gives them a sort of longer on on-ramp, right? The end result for the emissions target is pretty similar, but it doesn't require a really significant ramp up in EV sales or, you know, a really significant increase in the carbon target until after 2030. So instead of like a steep ramp, you could think of it more like a hockey stick, right? So it's a little bit less steep in the beginning, and then they will make that up later on.
Now, Jake, climate regulations, of course, are often litigated. This one will likely be fought in court. But can a next president, whether it's Donald Trump or someone else against these rules, undo them in the future?
Yes, but, right, the idea that with this is that they're hoping to make it a little bit Trump-proof and make it difficult to unwind. But I think if Trump were to start on day one, it could, you know, be softened or removed. But I think the bigger question, right, is the Supreme Court. This is likely to be litigated by state attorneys general. And the Supreme Court has shown a sort of insistence on this, what they call the major questions doctrine, right, which is basically just that executive agencies kind of can't make huge decisions about the future of the country without consulting Congress. And so the question is whether the justices would think that, you know, trying to shift the nation to electric vehicles would constitute an overreach of the EPA's statutory authority.
All right. We've been talking to Jake Biddle, staff writer with our editorial partner at Grist. Thanks so much.
Thanks.